The White House is facing backlash from anti-immigration groups for its new plan that would provide a path to citizenship for Dreamers and others brought to the country as children. But the plan would also greatly reduce what's called chain migration by those against it, family reunification by others. You know, one person comes, does well, brings other family members. White House advisor Stephen Miller drew up the plan, and journalist Jennifer Mendelson says that his own ancestors may not have been welcome under some of his proposed rules. Jennifer Mendelson's project, Tracing Ancestry of Policymakers, is called Resistance Genealogy. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
What made you want to do this?
Well, I am a journalist, but I am also a very passionate genealogist. I spent a lot of time tracing trees, looking at immigrant records, looking at naturalization papers. And for a long time, it was just sort of my strange and weird hobby. But over the past year or two, I've realized that the work that I've been doing has incredible resonance in the present. It's not just about the past. And I realize how important these stories are and how relevant these stories are. I'm also the granddaughter of immigrants. So my immigrant past is incredibly close and personal and intimate for me. And when I see all these people in the news talking about immigration in a way that seems so disingenuous, I just sort of chuckle to myself and think, don't you realize that you have this story too? It may be further back for you, but we all have these stories. I see them every day. Mm-hmm. So I just started looking into some of their stories. I thought it might be an interesting way to personalize this for them.
Well, for instance, Republican Congressman Steve King of Iowa, CNN asked him in March of 2017 to clarify comments he'd made because they brought some criticism. And he told them he meant exactly what he said. Let's listen.
You cannot rebuild your civilization with somebody else's babies. You've got to keep your birth rate up and that you need to teach your children your values.
You can't rebuild your civilization with somebody else's babies, meaning people who come in, immigrants who come in. You found what?
Well, as soon as I heard that, I just sort of the light bulb went off and I thought, someone else's babies? His family must have been someone else's babies at some point. So I started looking at his tree. It was relatively easy. And I found that his grandmother came to the U.S. as a four-year-old with her baby sister and baby brother in tow. So there you have it. They were someone else's babies at one point.
They arrived in steerage at Ellis Island, New York, 1894 from Germany. Her name was Frieda Harm. By the way, how'd you find that?
There's a lot of websites that I use with all of these people. They're public figures, so there's a lot of information about who their parents were, and it's very easy once you start to just sort of tracing backwards using public records.
Yeah. Well, let's look at what else you found. Dan Scavino Jr., White House social media director, he tweeted an article about what he calls chain migration, choking the United States. Chain migration is a phrase that's used pejoratively by those who feel it's a chain of people who come, then pulling others behind them in. Others have called it family reunification, which is, you know, families being able to reunite with other family members once they've come in as legal immigrants. So what did you find about Dan Scavino Jr.?
Well, once again, being as intimately involved in genealogy as I am, the sort of term chain migration just sort of made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up because it's so obvious that they're trying to cast a very healthy and legal process as something sinister and dark. And they're using this word to sort of scare people, summoning up images of immigrants scurrying into the country and dragging a chain of undesirables behind them. And there's all these statistics being bandied about that aren't reliable about how many people each person can bring. And they're basically just trying to scare people. But anyone who's spent any time looking at American immigration history knows that chain migration is the way that virtually everybody comes here. So I decided to look at the Scavino family and see how they came. And it turned out that they were a poster child family for the process of chain migration because Dan Scavino Jr.'s great-grandfather's elder brother had come first. He had brought over a second brother. Then he brought over Dan Scavino's great-grandfather. Then a sister came. Then another sister came. And the grandfather. I mean, so I refuse to talk about chain migration. The process is called family reunification. And there's nothing sinister or underhanded about it. It's about bringing families together.
Well, we should say they were all, you know, living together. And this was at a time, well, late 1800s into the early 1900s. This was at a time when Italians were considered completely undesirable. I mean, laws were passed to keep them out of the country, one historian told us, because it was thought that Italians and the Polish people could never be smart enough to adopt American values. I mean, it's hideous. And this would have been Dan Scavino's family.
Exactly. Well, I think part of what's going on here that's sort of implicit in this project is I am trying to show people that this is nothing new. These sorts of things have always been said about immigrants, and they've never been true, because if they were true about our ancestors, they're being said about the exact same people who descended from those people who were thought not to be good enough. The example I've often given to make it personal is that in my own family, I actually have one grandmother who was born in the U.S., and her American-born sisters looked down on my immigrant grandfather and thought that he was not worthy of their sister because he was a greenhorn, and they made a big deal about how he was beneath them. So I decided to look at the records, and I realized that my grandmother's sister was born in New York City in 1895. Her mother had arrived in the U.S. in 1891. 4 years earlier. And I just keep thinking to myself, it only takes 4 years to breed that sort of entitlement or sense that, well, I was born here, I'm better than you. And I realize in my family, it's 4 years, so it's very easy to see. But for some people, when that becomes 100 years or 150 years, it's not so easy to see. But all these things have been said about immigrants before.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to White House senior advisor Stephen Miller, who's the one said to be whispering in President Trump's ear very hardline thoughts on immigration, and especially when it comes to language. What did you find out about Stephen Miller?
Well, Stephen Miller comes from a pretty classic Eastern European Jewish immigrant success story, but I found it particularly ironic. He gave a White House press briefing last summer in which he talked about how the Trump administration's immigration policies would favor immigrants who could already speak English.
This was when the administration presented its skill-based immigration plan back in August. Stephen Miller drafted that one as well. It would limit the family-based migration we talked about, but also force green card recipients to speak English before arriving in the U.S. And Miller got into a big dust-up with CNN's Jim Acosta at a briefing. Let's just listen to a little.
This whole notion of, well, they could learn, you know, they have to learn English before they get to the United States. Are we just going to bring in people from Great Britain and Australia?
Jim, actually, I have to honestly say, I am shocked at your statement that you think that only people from Great Britain and Australia would know English.
So that's White House aide Stephen Miller back in August, not backing down from his plan then, requiring legal immigrants to speak English. Genealogist Jennifer Mendelson, you did what?
Again, knowing as I do the sort of typical arc of Eastern European Jewish immigrant families in America, I decided to take a look at his own family and see if they could speak English. And I found in the 1910 census, his great-grandmother, Sarah Miller, and at that time in the census, the enumerator would indicate whether each person could speak English. And it said that she had arrived 4 years earlier, but that she could not speak English.
She spoke only Yiddish 4 years after coming to the U.S. And he wrote in a college op-ed that worshiping at the altar of multiculturalism might lead to the sacrifice of the one culture which binds us all. And there you have in his own family somebody not speaking English.
I think the subtext here is just that it's crucial that we point these things out, that the idea that not being able to speak English when you come somehow should prevent you from coming, because we all come, or many of us come, from these incredibly humble roots of uneducated people who came here and were given opportunity. My own great-grandmother was completely illiterate, and two of my brothers have PhDs, and that's how it works. We take in people with limited opportunity and we give them opportunity. That's what frustrates me so much about the rhetoric we're seeing, and that's what inspired this project. It is the most beautiful and fundamental piece of being American in my mind. And yes, times have changed. No, it is not 100 years ago. Yes, we need to craft policy that respects the realities of life today. But we have to do so with a compassion and an understanding that our immigrant past makes us great, and immigrants continue to contribute to this country and will continue to contribute to this country.
That's Jennifer Mendelson, journalist, creator of the new project, hashtag Resistance Genealogy. We'll hook you up at HereNow.org. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you so much.